Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the City Confessions. I'm so excited today because we actually have somebody with an Australian accent, and I have a thing for accents, so get ready for this. Today, we are joined by Andy Stone. He is the Vice President of Marketing of Bluestone Lane, which is a Melbourne-inspired coffee place offering Australian-style espresso drinks and cafe. So welcome, Andy. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks very much for having me. This is my first ever podcast, so I'm thrilled and pumped up to experience it. Thanks for having
me. Amazing. I'm so honored because I feel like you will never forget me now.
No, that's exactly right. And then just before hitting the record, we established that we're a local to the same cafe.
The only thing missing right now is if I had a oat milk latte from Bluestone, but it's okay. I'll get it on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm highly caffeinated. So
awesome. Yeah. So we are set to go. Yes. Okay. So I know you are the brothers, the CEO of Nick Stone, but you run the business marketing component of Bluestone Lane. So I'm so curious to know, how did this business started? How did you get involved? And of course, you know, knowing your accent, you guys are from Australia, but right now how long have you been living in New York City and what is your relationship with the city? But basically just introduce yourself.
Yeah. So I am the younger of the boys in the Stone family. So my brother is older. He was originally in New York working in the financial sector. So he was a banker for an Australian large top four bank. And he was here for, probably about 8 years before I even came and joined with the business. You know, he's finance. I was in advertising in Australia, looking after alcohol brands, but also biggest domestic code, which is called the Australian Rules Football, and then also the Australian Open. But so I'd done a fair bit of work with in the beverage space, trying to create brands, and then also in this other space around kind of lifestyle, community based sports, because even though it was at a top tier, you know, Australian Open, you know, one of the four Grand Slams in the world, or AFL, our largest domestic code in Australia, I did a lot of the strategy around the feeder games to get, you know, kids involved and people participating at all different levels. I moved over in 2016, and that was so I've been here for going on 5 years. I've ended up meeting my wife, now wife, here, and she's an American, and I've got a kid that is a 10-month-old. So I've kind of achieved a lot in that small period of time. It's a New York minute, and it's been a fantastic ride. My brother, I moved over to be close to him. He's CEO, founder. I'm marketing. I do all the events as well. And you know, unfortunately, he moved his family to to Los Angeles, so he's based over there. I've only seen him once in the last year, or more actually, and you know, the head office or the roasting facility and the most of the operation function and hiring function comes out of New York. So that's where our office was, and yeah, it's been a fantastic journey so far.
I love hearing that, and I'm so curious to know, how do you personally differentiate New York City coffee culture and Australia's?
Well, you know, Australian coffee culture is so community based. We used to have a saying, like, in Australia, you have a pub on every corner. It's very English, you know, inspired pubs in small little suburban areas. Now we have cafes that flank the pubs, and the pub does amazing espresso. And you know, Melbourne as a hub for Australian, I think, you know, I'm from Melbourne. You know, it is a hub for Australian coffee culture. It's also, you know, one of the biggest, one of the big, you know, food, in, you know, I guess what's the right way of saying it? Like, it's a most, one of the most inspiring places for food and restaurants and hospitality. And a lot of innovation happens in Australia, whether it is, you know, brands that are launching products in an Australian environment because it's a good test market, but also just we have we're like the Asian fruit bowl, so we have great produce, we produce a hell of a lot of good quality food, and we have, you know, a great hospitality ethos as well. So lots of tourism over there, lot of great restaurants as part of that as well. So the Australian coffee culture, though, is very centered around the community aspect. Having so many different coffee shops, it was very different to what we were experiencing going to, you know, something like a Starbucks or one of the bigger chains in America. I think the coffee shop turned into that, well, you know, Howard Schultz explained it like that third space, but that third space was being really used as you know, as an office where or a study where people would plug in their headphones and just kind of like sit in front of their laptop and sip their cup of joe, where the Australian cafe culture, that you have that, it's much more of a food based community based, you know, catching up with friends, catching up with, you know, people, a little bit more of that European people watching element, but you know, mixed with you know, health focused menu and really kind of like trying to dial up the hyper local, as we call it, the hyper local community aspect, where, you know, you might go for a run and you finish off at the coffee shop and you're catching up with a friend, and you might do the Australians joke that you'll probably go to, you know, seven different cafes in a day over the weekend, and it's very much like that. So it's like
that makes sense,
resonating.
I think that's why I personally was drawn to Bluestone Lane when I first discovered it, because there was this very much like of a cafe, laid back, like you come, you enjoy your time, you order your coffee and food, and you just, you know, spend the afternoon or the morning at the cafe. And it's funny that you mentioned a lot about the health aspect, because I do follow some Melbourne influencers or bloggers, and I feel like the lifestyle over there is very much related to health. Not to say that's not, you know, a priority in New York, but maybe more so like in LA. So I was wondering, is that why the menu also, for me, when I look at it, it's very healthy. There's tons of great options. And I think it also introduces this new aspect to people who may, you know, are not used to that and really tend to go for the things that are on the go.
Yeah.
As many, you know, New York cafes offer. So I'm curious to know about like Bluestone's like marketing tactics in that aspect.
Market, you know, it's, I think that New York and America in general has come a long way. I think the top tier cities have, when we first started out, we kind of had to, you know, we did a couple of things to really try to highlight the connection piece as much as the healthy food. I can talk about the healthy food, but I think that, like, as a commentary across the US coffee landscape, we didn't allow any Wi-Fi in our store, and we didn't also have any power connected under the seats, because I think that you know, the locals who had been brought up with a Starbucks style coffee shop were very much like plug and play, where we had to like really try to teach our locals to say, like, hey, use our space more to catch up and have a conversation rather than just kind of like go inside your headphones and computer. Now we actually have like a limited time band of Wi-Fi, and we have been putting some PowerPoints in, just because we are still having people coming in for meetings, but they will need a device, whether it's their phone or their computer. And we still also don't want to, I guess, be too strict on, like, you know, discriminating between people that want to actually use the cafe as a little bit of a hub to get out of their home, particularly at the moment where people are, you know, so trapped and isolated. The health side of things is also like a really big pillar for us. So the Frappuccino, you know, sugary coffee drink with two pumps of some sort of syrup was definitely not an area that we wanted to go into. And we wanted to go into, like, do a really kind of like premium specialty coffee and specialty drinks as well. We source a lot of matchas and put as much time in those other drinks as we do as sourcing our beans. And then also mixing it with a made to go, made to order, plant-based predominantly menu. And I don't know, you're probably familiar, but just in case you're not, and for anyone listening, we do have two different types of stores. We have a cafe, which is much more built for a sit down, and it's a more extensive menu. And we want people to sit down and eat, and there's more tables, it's bigger footprint, there's predominantly a lot of outdoor seating. And then we have a coffee shop, which is smaller footprint. They can be in more urban environments where cafes probably more residential, or it is residential. And it serves a different, maybe the same type of clientele, but a different purpose. So one's for office that have limited time. So therefore there's not a real requirement for a lot of seating, but both food options, the drink menu is very much the same at both the cafe and the coffee shop. The only difference would be alcohol, but then the food side is different. We still have our world famous avocado smash. So that's across on both. The variation is minimal. But then the other food items are completely different. But it's all fresh, made to order. It's not, you know, made in a commissary and shipped in frozen or overnight, like a Starbucks would do and some of those other chains.
I definitely like the fact that you have both styles of cafes, like the more traditional cafe style and then the more coffee shop, I guess. I've been to both, and the coffee shops work when I'm on the go and I just need a pick-me-up. But I'm definitely more drawn to the cafes. And speaking of the cafes and the menus, what are your favorite items? Obviously, mine is definitely the avocado smash. And it's funny because even prior to, working with Bluestone Lane, I've always raved about the avocado smash. Like, I used to tell people all the time, like, it's honestly, like,
that's great.
I think it's the best one in New York City. Like, I'm not even just saying that.
Well, it's a good story back there. So that was always, like, avocado toast is huge in Australia. The Australians say that we invented it. And certainly for us, like, when my brother opened the first coffee shop, it was the first thing on the menu besides Vegemite toast. Avocado toast is still by far our biggest seller. It is, and it's all made fresh. So we go through so many avocados. We should be actually avocado farmers. But it's terrific. That my go-to is actually green baked eggs if it's at the cafe. So it's like a spinach and chimichurri base with an egg on it, tomatoes, mushrooms, garlic mushrooms. Oh, it is heaven. So I have that at the moment. I still have my lunch. It's I'm a little late to eat it, but it is the brekkie bowl, which is, you know, a bit of sautéed spinach, tomatoes. We've got poached egg on it, and quinoa. I think at the moment we changed it actually to farro, feta. Oh, it's delicious with a vinaigrette. And then we have if I wasn't to eat that, I would typically for lunch, I typically get a one of our BL burritos. And that's a to-go
item. Everything is so good there.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't, yeah. My other favorite is the Rainbow Bowl, actually.
Yeah. Well, the Rainbow Bowl is like one of those staples that's always on the menu. It's really nice. Yeah.
It's like a classic. It's like if you don't really know what you want, just have that and you'll be fine.
Yeah. And we update it every season. So there'll be a few things that get tweaked. So it's not exactly the same thing all through the year, which always makes it nice. Same thing with the breakfast. Most of the dishes get some little tweak. Might go from a quinoa to a farro, and change some of the different toppings. But yeah, at the moment with the one that we've got with the honey roasted carrots, Heirloom carrots. Oh, delicious.
So good.
Very, very nice.
So if you all haven't tried Bluestone Lane, definitely go there after this podcast.
Yeah.
So I know we spoke a lot about the food aspect and about your role in, you know, working as part of the Bluestone Lane family and brand and company. But I'm curious to know, from your career so far, when have you felt the most challenged?
Challenged. Well, so I joined the business after, I think it was the seventh store that we opened. And then since then, we've opened a store every month. And that growth really predominantly happened in 2019. And that finish of 2018 into 2019, where we were developing the brand for scale, and still opening stores and still running branded marketing campaigns. That was the most challenging time that we've had. Last year, 2020, even though there was a lot of heartache and it was very scary and, you know, very, very tough for everybody. Teammates, our locals and the business in general, that was actually the most rewarding year, because we ended up, you know, really coming together and being united along, you know, improving the business in so many different areas. And we kind of like look back at 2020 as sort of like a blessing, because we've had so many different things that we've been able to work through. So, you know, we're pretty much almost 100%, I'd say, in digital transactions. So to have that ability to scale and to stay open throughout the pandemic, and then have our locals embrace the digital ordering process themselves, mixing it actually allows our teammates to be more hospitable in guiding our locals to order and recommendations, etc. The only kind of change up is that they're placing the order themselves. I think that's been a very rewarding look of 2020, of, you know, what we've been able to achieve, and that we kind of come out of 2020 to being in a position where we can grow again. That's been great. But 2019 was such a year of growth and trying to do a lot of things all at the one time. That was definitely like the most challenging professionally that I've had. And not necessarily the challenging on the best. I think that I look back and some of the elements that I wish we could have changed at the time or in hindsight, you know. There's plenty of them. Where 2020, it's like it was a challenging year, but it was the most rewarding and thoughtful.
Yeah, no, that's good though. And I think during those times, those are when you have to, you know, really come up with strategic plans to kind of pivot and adapt to what's happening. So the digital orders and even the whole app, right? Like the loyalty program, I think really works for the business, just as a fan and
as a local. Yeah.
Yeah, as a local. So I love hearing that. And then I just want to shift gears a little and basically ask you what keeps you up at night. And I know it sounds like a basic question. I know you have, your first child. So maybe your child keeps you up at night. But I ask this because I would consider, you know, you're not a New Yorker, but you are somebody living in New York right now. We're always constantly, or before the pandemic, you know, very much on the go and just always filling up our schedules, and we don't really take time to sit down, you know, with each other, whether or not we are strangers or not, and say like, how are you genuinely doing? So this is just my chance to kind of check in with you. Yeah. And it can be professionally or personally, but like, what is stressing you out in this current moment?
Yeah, I think that from a personal perspective is that I'm aware that, you know, of mental stress and how detrimental that can be. To 2019 was one of those years where I was mentally burnt out. You know, I got married in 2019 and I had a honeymoon. They were the best things that happened. But work was, being a small business, scaling like that, also working with your brother, who is, you know, fastidious in everything that he does. He's like a very details, number orientated person, as well as being a very capable marketer as founding this brand. That was a challenging year. I think that, like, at the moment, I've got the luxury where I feel like we're doing all right. I'm not overly stressed. I have to say, this is like a really good moment of life. I'm very enjoying, very much enjoying spending time with my wife and my kid. And I'm loving the business at the moment. I really do see a very bright future and some really great opportunities around the corner. I'm also buying my first apartment. That would be the only thing that's keeping me up a little bit at night, because I have to put down the 20%. And I'm buying a co-op, which is, always full of its stresses with that. But, I have to say, like, you know, unfortunately, I'm having a stable family at home and going into like work wise, I'm feeling very accomplished, and I'm feeling like 2021 is going to be a great year. So, but 2019, the stresses that I had in 2019 of trying to juggle so many things, And that's probably one of the areas that has changed since 2019 to 2021 is that, you know, we do have, we've brought in some other people so that there is a good level of focus for everyone across their own individual business units, where in the past, what was really kind of like driving my anxiety was trying to do a lot of work in the stores and trying to make sure that, you know, culturally the business was trying to match the brand perception being represented online with the actual store representation of the brand and making sure that they were meeting a local expectation. And that's where I was doing way too many things, and I was burning myself out without I didn't know it at the time that I was burning myself out. Now bringing in some new operators and some new, you know, great hires in focus areas, it's it's been really, really good. It's that, you know, they're able to manage what's on their plate. I'm able to swim in my own lane and focus on the areas that really do matter for the brand and the business as a whole. So
yeah, no, it's great to hear that, because I believe like the reason why I also created this platform was to, you know, hear stories and have people share their journeys, and it's a way to really open up, right, but also celebrate the wins as well as open up about their lows. So like, I think there needs to be a balance of doing both. So the fact that you are able to recognize that, you know what, right now I'm actually having such a good time, like it's a highlight that should be, again, celebrated as well. So I love hearing that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is good. Sorry.
I was just going to just piggyback by what you were saying, you know, in terms of being in such a good place right now, and how would you define success? And also, what does happiness look like to you? Because I feel like those are two terms that a lot of people, especially Americans, strive for, right? But those definitions are all different from an individual basis. And it'll be interesting to hear from you, because you're not American. I mean, but you are living here now. Like, how do you perceive those terminologies, success and happiness?
Success and happiness. Mm-hmm. I'm someone that really enjoys having a good level of security in my life, and that security is provided by the people that are in my ecosystem, I guess. And that is success in my eyes, and that's happiness in my eyes, is where I'm feeling like, you know, I'm not going to fail. And there's a level of security in having the right people around you to say, like, hey, you know, you can be challenged. There's nothing wrong with being challenged and stressing yourself, stretching yourself and you know, continually improving. But I think that the level of comfort, that the security with the people that you have around you and creating a good base camp, allows for you to actually do more stretch projects without that fear of failure. That to me is happiness. Happiness is like, my life is completely different now to what it was pre-pandemic. That's by choice, but also by the nature of the world. I think that New York, you get caught up in a lot of there's so much going on. You can't really ever properly sleep in, especially from an Australian coming into a new city like New York, where it's just so different from being back home. It's the same, but different. Australia is similar in so many ways, but the way that I was explaining it in the past is that, you know, it feels like Australia, you'll have like a New York moment, and then mm-hmm. every other moment of the day or the week is very much Australian, very relaxed, very laid back, still like plenty going on, very health focused, very community orientated, but you can still have those New York moments. New York is very much New York 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365
days. But do you still feel like that now?
I don't feel like that now.
Okay.
And that's the difference, where it's like the pandemic has kind of like forced us to do more home time, more. I was never really a big TV watcher, but I find myself, you know, able to stay at home and, you know, I can watch a movie quite easily just from the, you know, on Netflix or HBO Max, etc. But in the past, I think that I was at every different restaurant and I'm seeing every different mate that comes into town and, you know, entertaining at work and catching up with my then girlfriend and fiance and then wife. And I think that, like, you know, that whole New York scene is will definitely come back. No doubt about it. But for the moment, it does feel like for the last year, it's been a bit more Australian, and that's been very comforting as well.
Yeah. I mean, as somebody who, you know, I'm a native, so I was born and raised here.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it was definitely weird for sure. I was like, wow, it honestly feels like a ghost town. And that is never the case, only except for holidays, like on Thanksgiving and Christmas, because my family's, you know, lives here. I don't mm-hmm. leave. So that's like the only time that was very similar in terms of the quietness. But it was definitely weird. But I'm also learning to embrace it, knowing that this isn't forever. And it's actually, you know, once you change your mindset, like there is this beauty in like slow living and being so present. So I'm personally enjoying it, even though I know a lot of people, you know, have fled the city due to its quote unquote lack of activity and hustle. But I'm okay with that for now.
For now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do miss it.
Completely. New York's still New York at the end of the day, but it's certainly a husk of itself at the moment. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it's a little bit of that disconnection and you know, bringing everyone back to a little bit more of a zen moment is a good thing. I, you know, as a native, I think that you probably, you know, what would be your best destination to go away for on a holiday? Is it a beach? Is it a mountain? Or is it like another city?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't even know if I'm the right person to ask, just because I love traveling and my sense of travel. I mean, if it's like to unplug, maybe somewhere tropical, but I am also really drawn to, you know, other cities. Actually, you know what's funny? So kind of going off topic, but before I die, I want to visit the seven continents. And I was going to do Australia last year, actually. So that didn't happen. But like, I would love to go to like Melbourne. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a place that totally would fit my type of vibe. Like, it's not New York, but it's still a foreign place, but some similarity. Yeah. I mean, you guys speak English, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Whenever New York does get overwhelming for me, that is when I do, you know, pick up and leave. In terms of where, I kind of just go with the flow. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that doesn't really answer your question, but
yeah. It's an interesting one. I think that like where I was feeling like being in New York, I was always looking to seek a place a little bit more quiet. Where it was either in the mountain skiing, or it was, you know, going back to Australia on the beach, you know, or, you know, our honeymoon was in Italy, but it was all on the coast. It was just, I know that that's a honeymoon, so it's supposed to be relaxing, right? But it doesn't really matter. It kind of like fits with where my head continually gets drawn. In Australia, my head was drawn to America or to London or to Paris or to through Asia, and Asia in general is, you know whether it's Thailand or, you know, Indonesia or Hong Kong, Singapore, like Tokyo, they're all big hubs. Where, you know, Australia, I think that it's a little bit laid back, that I was seeking the busier life, where now I'm in New York, I'm like, I just want to go to the beach.
Yeah.
You know, I miss the days of what, yeah.
No, I was going to say we don't have nice beaches here, so sorry for that.
and Jersey beaches are not nearly as nice either.
So. But, you know, speaking of New York City, if you can thank the city for something, what would that be?
I thank the city for its, it does have a really good community. Like the community that I've created in New York is genuinely like unbelievable. You know, it's a city that continually tries to connect people. And that is very unique. It's different to Australia. Australia is a hot silo a little bit. Like, I don't want to introduce you to my friends. That's a separate conversation. You know, where here is it was very much like I walked off a plane into the city, and it was very embracing and it was very connecting me. You know, I do have a very, you know, wide variety of friends, and it's been terrific. It's been really, really great to connect with different backgrounds and personalities, and you know, different entrepreneurs. And I do find that I thank the city for just being able to create a hub that's so multicultural and open and willing to connect other people.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we connect this. So that's what I'm grateful for as well.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, and this podcast is called The City Confession. So I'm not sure if you saw this coming, but as we are winding down, I always ask my guests to share a city confession. And it's a good way, like you mentioned, to really connect all of us living in New York City. We clearly have different backgrounds and different stories, but I do think that some of the confessions slash, you know, vulnerabilities and quote unquote secrets are what binds us. So with that being said, if you can share a confession, whatever you're comfortable with, it can be something silly, something deep, something surface level, like whatever you're comfortable with. But Andy, what is your city confession?
Oh, my city confession. Okay. So I am, you've caught me on the hop, but this is actually something that is related to work, but it's also maybe funny or surprising. So we have like, we train everybody on coffee, espresso coffee in particular. You have to know the basics of grinding and weight and water pressure and servicing the machine and making sure that there's enough extraction time and the weight, on the extraction, and then the knowing how to foam milk, and the process of pouring and just there is an incredible amount of knowledge that we train every single person within the business. For 5 years, I've never been accredited as a barista. However, I have moonlighted as a barista many of times in stores, whether it's in Montauk, where we were short of people, or I just needed to get this store open, other areas. So I have to confess, I've never been officially accredited within my own business to make coffee, but yet I do make coffees from time to time for locals. I haven't poured a flat white for a local in over a year, so it's but yeah, still to the day I'm not allowed to touch my own equipment.
That's fine. I mean, thanks for sharing that. I mean, I don't find that shocking. Maybe other people in your circle might, but I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I totally see that. It's contentious within the business. The coffee
sure.
heads, they love to rip me on it. So it's gentle banter. So
yeah, for sure.
Very good.
But I just want to take a moment right now to thank you for saying yes to being on my podcast. I always think that when two people say yes, it's like something magical can happen. And the fact that you penciled me into your schedule, I do really appreciate that. And I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to this found value from it. So yeah, I just want to send a moment of gratitude for you being a guest on my podcast.
No worries. Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's great to connect and meet another local of Bluestone.
Yes, of course.
Which is genuine. Then,
yeah. Yes, I actually love Bluestone so much. And then one more thing before we actually wrap up. This is your chance to plug away. I know I will leave all of your information, of course, and Bluestone website and the locations and all of that in the show notes. So be sure...
Yep.
For everybody listening to look at that. But do you have any secret projects, any secret items on the menu we can be on the lookout for this summer? Like, what can you reveal from Bluestone in the next year or in 2021?
Yeah, well, the menu does get changed, so I think that that is updated. So that's probably nothing too crazy, but there's new items coming across the board. But we are working on a pretty significant drink innovation that will launch for summer in the cold, iced section. So we're pretty pumped up about that. I can't mention it at the moment just because we're with chats with another brand, and we've got a non-disclosure agreement at the moment. But yeah, very significant. Puts us on a new pedigree where we're pretty pumped up about it, and it's in the cold space, cold brew. But if any listeners are wanting to that haven't heard about Bluestone Lane and want to check it out, we've got an app and you can download that and you get a free coffee on doing that. And then yeah, I look forward to seeing you as a local in one of the cafes or coffee shops.
Amazing. That's like the perfect way to end this. So thank you so much for being on. And for all the listeners, be sure to again click the show notes to visit your local Bluestone Lane. And with that being said, I hope you guys have a good day and stay tuned for next week's episode. All right, bye.
See ya. Bye.